Good morning. Glad to have you here on this crisp fall day. Finally, we're into my season. This is where things are going to get real for me because I love cooler temperatures. I love football and all things fall. And so just watch out. You didn't think you could hold me before, but wait till I get loose on fall, okay? We're in the middle of this series called Supernatural, and the last couple weeks we've been talking about the reality of spiritual warfare and the fact that we are in a battle. Then last week we talked about the power of the Holy Spirit and what He does in order to give us victory. Next week we're going to be looking at angels and the role they play in this supernatural battle. And this week we're going to look at Satan and his demons, okay? Now, you may ask me, Steve, do you believe in demons and the forces of evil? And I would say yes, absolutely. After yesterday's football season and the way things turned, some of those played like teams possessed, okay? So I just got to let you know, I think the devil is real and that he was alive in the state of Mississippi yesterday. That's just me as an Alabama fan, okay? No, seriously. I believe in the spiritual warfare. I believe that there are angels. I believe there are demons. There is a devil. There is a hell. And because Jesus dealt with those things. Jesus encountered those things and he validated the fact that there is spiritual warfare and that we are not battling against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities and rulers in dark places. So today, as we're looking at this, what I hope you'll understand is it's important for us to get some information about our enemy to understand his tactics and to understand what makes him tick in order that we can be prepared for the battle that he's going to bring to our doorstep. Anybody in the house ever had a struggle, ever had an issue, ever thought, man, what in the world? Everything just seems to be against me. Let me just tell you, that's spiritual warfare. You lost a job. You've gotten a bad diagnosis on a health visit? Have you seen finances suddenly just dry up and go away? Have you noticed how relationships can turn sour? It's spiritual warfare. Your enemy is not your boss. Your enemy is not the person down the street. The enemy is not laying in the bed next to you. The enemy is the devil, and he is trying to steal, to kill, and destroy what you have if you are with the Lord. So today, we want to take a look at our enemy. Now, we're not going to pay undue attention to the enemy. We're not going to get all caught up in the enemy because greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And so today, we're going to just take a glimpse at our enemy. We're going to understand some of his tactics so that we can take the battle to him in the name of Jesus and in the power of the Holy Spirit. All right? So that's what we're going to do. Well, first, let's kind of think about where did Satan come from in the first place? Scripture teaches us that Satan wasn't always bad. Did you know that? In fact, he started out as an angel. He was one of God's best. He was one of the most beautiful angels. He was known as Lucifer, and he was often referred to as the morning star. So this was an angel in the presence of God who was beautiful and who had radiance. Then he became jealous of God, and he wanted to become like God. Big problem there, all right? In Scripture, we see this angel wanting to be like God, and here's the account as it is told in Isaiah chapter 14. We're going to start in verse 12. How you have fallen from heaven, O morning star, son of the dawn. You have been cast down to earth, you who once laid low the nations. You said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit enthroned in the mountain of assembly. I will ascend above the tops of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. And God said, no, you won't. No, you won't. No one can ever be like me. And when this beautiful angel said, I will be like you, God, God cast him out of heaven, and a third of the angels followed him. Romans 12 gives us this account, starting in verses 7, 8, and 9. The Bible says, there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back. But he, the devil, was not strong enough, and they lost their place in heaven. Verse 9 says, the great dragon was hurled down. that ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who leads the whole world astray, he was hurled to the earth and his angels with him. When Lucifer said, I'm going to be like God, and God said, no, you won't. There's no one like me. I want you to hear the power of that statement. Oftentimes we get Satan and we put him up there as an equal to God. That God is ultimate good and that Satan is ultimate evil. And we kind of put them on the same level, don't we? I mean, subconsciously, we're just like, there's God and there's the devil and they are equals. No, they're not. God said it himself. There is no one like me. There is none other like me. Satan is not God's opposite. God is all powerful. Now, does Satan have power? Yes, but he doesn't have all power. So that right there lets us know that we are fighting a defeated enemy. Our God is the all-powerful one. And Satan was cast down to earth, and now we have this force of darkness to deal with. As we talk about this today, we've got to recognize the reality, though, that not everything that bad that happens in our world is because of Satan and his demons. Like, you go to Walmart today and you can't find a parking place. It's just the reality of people want to park close and they take all. It's not the devil, okay? Or if, you know, you trip and fall, you don't need to cast the demon out of the sidewalk or anything like that, okay? So let's see with spiritual eyes that there is a battle happening around us, but not everything that happens that is bad is necessarily Satan or his demon's fault, okay? We're going to look at a few things that demons use, some of the tactics they use, in order that Satan may not outwit us, for we are not ignorant of his schemes. That's what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. So we're going to look at a couple things that Satan and his demons and his minions use against you that is part of their warfare tactics. The first one is this. Demons desire to inflict suffering. Can I get an amen on that one? They desire to inflict suffering on you, God's children. He wants us to suffer. The story in Matthew chapter 17, 15, this father is beside himself and he comes running up to Jesus and he said, Lord, have mercy on my son. He has seizures and he's suffering greatly. He often falls into the fire or into water. And Jesus said, bring the boy here to me. And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of the boy, and the little boy was healed. The demon was trying to destroy the life of this little child. He wanted to cause great suffering to the boy and to his father. The Bible tells us in John 10:10 that the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And he was trying to destroy this little boy. And the reality is, God blesses you, God loves you, and Satan wants to cause you to suffer. He wants to see you in pain. He wants to see you hurting. The second thing that the demons want to do is they want to scheme to lure you away from God. They want to pull you away from God's presence. They want to pull you away from his protection. They want to pull you out of his family. They want to lure you away from God, and here's how they do it, and as it's described in Scripture. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. In the later times, some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. You know what? Scripture is very clear. Do you remember the story of Adam and Eve in the garden and when Eve was being tempted by the devil? Do you remember how things played out there in the garden? The fact that God had told Adam and Eve, listen, you can eat from any tree in the garden. You can eat the fruit of any of these trees except for one. The tree that's in the center of the garden, the tree of good, of the knowledge of good and evil, don't eat of that lest you die. Okay? So Satan comes in and he begins to cause doubt. That's one of the ways he tries to lure us away from God is he wants us to doubt the validity and the truth of God's word. You remember the serpent came up and he says to Eve, did God really say you should not eat from the tree? Did he really say that? He misrepresents what God says. Did he really say you shouldn't eat of any tree? He actually says of any tree. And then Eve, in her confusion, says, well, he said that we shouldn't eat of this tree. We shouldn't even touch it. All of a sudden, she's wavering on what she knew God's word to be. And so she's in a scary predicament here because he's actually got in there and caused some doubt. I think I know what God said, but do I really? And so she created, the demons created this scenario of causing doubt in Eve's mind. Then the serpent carefully deceives her, taking what God had said and what she was thinking, and he twists it. He's like, surely you're not going to die. Look, here's the deal. Doesn't that look good? Surely you're not going to die. Actually, the moment that you eat it, you're going to have your eyes opened and you're going to be like God. God was actually holding this special power away from you. God was really being ugly to you. He was withholding stuff from you. So go ahead, eat it. You're not going to die. And the Bible says he corrupted their desire. First he caused and created doubt. Then he carefully deceived. And then he corrupted their desires. You will be like God. The Bible says that Eve saw it, that it was good for food. It was pleasing to the eye. And it was desirable for gaining wisdom. And she took the fruit and she ate it. Now, can I tell you something? The enemy is still using those same tactics today. Every time he tries to lure you away from God, every time he tries to get you outside of God's word and God's authority, what he's actually doing is he tries and attempts to create doubts in your mind about the goodness of God and what God's word actually says, and can you rely on it as the authoritative rule for your life. Then secondly, he'll go and he'll begin to carefully deceive, trying to twist and contort things so that you misunderstand. And then he will corrupt your desires. He will make you want things that are not good for you. The reality is, Satan wants to draw us away from God. He wants to cause us to suffer. Then he wants to draw us away from God. And then demons want to paralyze us with fear. Anybody here deal with fears and worries and anxieties? I think that's just kind of natural, isn't it? But the enemy knows that, and he taps into those weaknesses that we have. They want us to go through life worried and anxious and fretful. I mean, some of you, where you're living right now, the situations that are going on in your life, you're worried sick about your kids, some of you. Some of you are stressed out about school and what are you going to do with school. Some of you are paralyzed with fear about your health or about the health of someone you love. Others of you are wondering and worried about what's going to happen in your marriage. Some of you are tore up about your hurts, your habits, and your hang-ups. Why? Because the enemy and Satan, through his demons, are trying to paralyze you with fear to keep you from living in faith. You see, the recipe for fear is faith. And the actual, you've got faith, and we say, okay, well, what's the opposite of faith? Disbelief? No, it's fear. And Satan wants to cause us to fear. There's a scripture here, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. How do we battle against these forces of the enemy? I mean, these tactics that he has against us, trying to make us suffer, trying to lure us away from God, trying to paralyze us with fear. Is there any hope of victory? Well, yeah. Absolutely there is. What can we do to win the battle? Well, the first thing we can do is not treat our enemy lightly. All right? We got to understand that we have an enemy and that he has some power and he has some tactics and he has a ploy that he uses to accomplish his ends. And so we don't need to just dismiss the enemy. We need to think in terms of realizing who he is and how he is to battle him. Not treating him lightly. In Jude verse 9, here's some help to see that we don't need to take the enemy lightly. But even the archangel Michael, okay? The archangel Michael in all his power, when he was disputing with the devil about the body of Moses, he did not dare bring a slanderous accusation against the devil. But he said to the devil, the Lord rebuke you. Even when the archangel Michael was battling against the devil, he didn't start trash talking the devil and saying, you're nothing. You're just a wimp. You're just a worm. No, he says, ultimately, enemy, this is the Lord's battle. And I rebuke you in his name. The Lord rebuke you. He doesn't treat him lightly. He doesn't dismiss him. He actually sees him for what he is, but he trusts the Lord with the battle. We should never treat our enemy lightly. He isn't all powerful, but he does have some power, and we need to recognize that. There's a great story in Acts chapter 19 about the seven sons of Sceva. They thought that they would be able to cast out demons in the name of Jesus without having a relationship with him. Even though they weren't followers of Jesus, they thought, well, we can get ourselves involved in spiritual matters. It's not that big of a deal. The enemy is not that problematic. And so they found a demon-possessed man, and they said to the demon-possessed man in the story, in the name of Jesus Christ, whom Paul preaches, come out of the man. And the demon inside this man looked at the seven sons and said, hey, we know who Jesus is, and we've even heard of Paul, but who are you? But who are you? And Scripture said this one demon-possessed man opened up a can of, well, you know, he brought the beat down on them, okay? I mean, the Bible says that the demon beat them so bad that they went around running away naked and bleeding because they took the enemy lightly. This story teaches us not to underestimate our enemy, but to know he's there. He's got some power. So don't dismiss him altogether. The second thing we need to do as we go into spiritual warfare is don't flirt with darkness. Don't flirt with it. Have nothing to do with it. Scripture teaches us we should have nothing to do with the forces of darkness. That we're not to mess around with seances or consult psychics or mediums. I mean, honestly, if a psychic had a word for me, why would I need to go to their house and pay them money if they've got a message for me? They ought to be able to get my phone number and call me out of the goodness of their heart and let me know what's about to happen if they're that good. I'm kidding. But you know, we go to places like that because we want information, and God says, don't do that. Don't mess with tarot cards. I heard a story one time of some guys that were playing poker with tarot cards. One of the guys got a full house and three people died. Tarot cards, you know, what's your future? Full house, three. Man, I'm just going to stop telling jokes. Crash and burn. That was horrid. Listen, don't mess with those things. Don't mess with Ouija boards. And listen, we've all done those things, haven't we? But you know what we've done? We've opened ourselves up to the forces of wickedness. Maybe unknowingly, we've opened up a door for Satan to have access into our heart or into our life, and his demons to have oppressive influence within our life. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11 says this, have nothing to do with the worthless deeds of darkness. Listen, life isn't about how far can I get to evil without falling over. It's about how far can I stay away to keep myself clean, to keep myself in the Spirit, to keep myself pure before God, that his Spirit might fill me, that I might have authority over those forces that want to push me over the edge. Have nothing to do or flirt with darkness. Here's what the Bible goes on to say about flirting with darkness. In Deuteronomy 18, 10 through 12, it says this, let no one be found among you who practices divination or sorcery, or who interprets omens, engages in witchcraft, or casts spells, or who is a medium or a spiritist, or consults the dead. Anyone who does these things is detestable unto the Lord. Stay away from evil. Flee it. Leave it in your rearview mirror. If you flirted with it in the past, repent of that. Ask God to clean you up, clean you out, so that you can move forward and not be held back in the things of God and what God has in store for you. And then thirdly, we don't fight in our power. We fight with God's authority and in his power. I had a friend of mine, we were in missions together, and he was on a trip to Costa Rica. And on this trip to Costa Rica, they were doing some evangelism and they were holding conferences and they were singing and they were preaching and people were coming and people were coming to the Lord. And he noticed that there was this little peasant girl that kept coming to the services, but she seemed very distraught, disturbed. Something wasn't quite right. And she'd come in and she'd walk out and she'd come in and she'd walk out. And he said, she was just this tiny little waif of a thing. He said, just frail looking. But he said, I could tell on her face something was bad wrong. She looked angry. She looked almost venomous in her approach to things. And she was agitated. And he said, every day she'd come in and she'd go out. And every day she'd come in and out several times during the service and was quite disruptive. He said one day she finally got up the courage to come all the way to the front there to the altar, and they began to pray with her. And what happened was she was demon-possessed. And what started to happen is this little girl started flinging these American large men around just like they were rag dolls. They could hardly contain her or control her, my friend said. Finally, they got in a position and a posture of prayer, and they really started praying, and they were holding her down so that she wouldn't hurt herself because she was flailing and scratching, and it was just the fur was flying and the blood was flowing, and it was bad and intense. And my friend said he held one arm, and he was like 220, 230. He had one arm. That was his sole responsibility. Now, to give you a little background into my friend, he grew up on the wrong side of the tracks in his hometown. He was basically thought of as nothing. He was never given any credit for things. Even teachers in school, his parents said that he wasn't going to amount to anything. Anytime he tried to get ahead or he tried to better himself, they were like, who do you think you are? Don't you know where you live and where you're from and who you're always going to be? You're nothing. And he said that as he was laying on that girl's arm and he was praying in the name of Jesus for her to be set free, this little uneducated Costa Rican peasant girl looked at him and in perfect English said, who do you think you are? And he said the hair on the back of his neck raised up and his heart was impacted immediately because the enemy knew what he had heard all his life. And he said, I just happened to have the forethought that this isn't about me. I don't come in my power. It's not about who I am. It's about coming to you in the name of God, in the power and in the authority of the Holy Spirit. And so we fight under the authority of Christ, not in our own power. If my friend hadn't realized that the enemy was trying to turn the battle into his power, he would have been obliterated. But my friend recognized that we fight with the authority of God through Jesus Christ. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 1, the Bible says that Jesus called his 12 disciples to him, and he gave them authority to drive out evil spirits and to heal sickness and disease. He gave them the authority to do it in the power of the Holy Spirit. Now let's think about this, okay? Let's say that I just want to go outside right here and right now on Front Beach Road and start stopping traffic. With all the motorcycles and all the out-of-towners, people would be looking at me and wondering, who is that crazy white-legged joker that's out here trying to mess up traffic? Because I have no authority. You know, they would look at me and they're like, who are you? But if Panama City Police Department or the Sheriff's Department gave me one of their uniforms, and I've got the badge, and I've got the gun, and I've got everything that says I have authority and I have the power of the powers that be, if I went out and started holding up, most people would stop, okay? Now not everybody, maybe, but because I had the authority, things would be different. Jesus said, it's not about your strength, it's not about your power, but it's by my Spirit and the authority that I give you. See, when we do spiritual battle, we don't battle in our own power and authority. It's in Jesus' authority, through the power of his Spirit, that we can continue to walk in victory against the darkness. Listen, we're not in a battle for victory. We battle from a place of victory. All right? Can I tell you that one more time? Because I don't think some of you really grasp that. We don't battle for victory. The battle has already been won. We battle from a place of victory. We are beating back the forces. They've already been defeated, and so we just need to walk in the victory that God has given us. You see, Scripture says that Satan is roaming around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, his mission being to steal and kill and destroy. But we're battling not in our power. It's not about Steve Irwin. It's about the God who died for me and through whose Spirit raised Christ Jesus from the dead. That same Spirit God has given to me, and he will quicken my mortal body so that I can continue to live in victory for him and with him and in him. And you have that same power and authority too if you're in Jesus. Let's look at how did Jesus deal with Satan when he was being tempted? Well, let's first say Satan used the same tactics on Jesus as he did Adam and Eve in the garden. He came at him against the Scripture and trying to get him to doubt God's word. He tried to confuse Jesus. He tried to twist Jesus' desires around. But here's what I want you to see that's available to us through Jesus. Jesus defeated the Satan because the Bible says he was full of the Holy Spirit. Have you asked Jesus into your life? Have you just opened up yourself and said, Lord, I want you to be the Lord of my life and I want you to come in? Because if you've said that, the Holy Spirit comes with Jesus and he fills you. Now, the Bible tells us, and we talked about this last week, that we are to keep being filled with the Holy Spirit. It's kind of like that sail. We want the Holy Spirit constantly flowing and filling our lives so that we might move forward in the Father, that we might continue to be filled with the fullness of God. And Jesus defeated the devil because he was full of the Holy Spirit. Secondly, Jesus did everything according to the Word of God. Satan would come against him, and Jesus would say, "It is written." He started quoting Scripture back to the enemy. The enemy's quoting him Scripture, and Jesus is clarifying what the Scripture actually said. You see, it is written. See, if we're full of the Holy Spirit and we've got Scripture in our heart and in our mind, then we have some real tools to battle with. And ultimately, though, you know where the real difference maker was for Jesus? Yeah, the Holy Spirit, and yes, Scripture. But Jesus was submitted to God. He walked in full submission to God. The devil is saying, listen, if you will bow down and worship me, I'll give you all these kingdoms. They were his to give, but Jesus said, no, I'm not going to submit to you. I'm submitting to my Father and my Father's plan, and this has nothing to do with it. And so Jesus submitted to God. He didn't want selfish gain. He submitted to the Word, the way, and the will of God. That's how we're going to get victory. James 4, 7 and 8 says, submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. The Bible says that Jesus endured those temptations and the Satan left him until an opportune time, and then Jesus was ministered to by the Holy Spirit and led into victory upon victory upon victory. What I want to leave with you today is this. There is an enemy. There is a battle. We don't need to go around wringing our hands wondering what should we do. We know what the enemy's after. He's wanting to create suffering in your life. He's wanting to lure you away from God. He wants you to bow to fear. But greater is he that is in you, who gives you the victory, who gives you the power, not to take your enemy lightly, not to just check out and to move forward. He doesn't want us to flirt with the darkness, but he wants us to fight the enemy in the power of the Holy Spirit through the authority of Christ. That's what we need to do. Oh God, through your Spirit, fill us. Oh God, help us to hunger and thirst for your word, that we might combat the enemy according to your word, your will, and your way. And God, help us to live fully submissive lives to you. Help us to surrender everything. Help us to draw near to you, because when we draw near to you, you draw near to us, and you keep us living in that kind of victory. Isn't that what we need? That's what's available today. Today, part of our coming near to God is that we get to share this awesome meal together. It's the Lord's table. This isn't the Methodist table. It's the Lord's table. You don't have to be a member of this church or this gathering or this denomination to be welcomed here. This is God's table, and He invites all who would come and recognize Him as the Savior who died for us and who is able to heal, bless, restore, and do all that we need. Today, I'm going to invite Liz to come, and we just need to be reminded that on the night that Jesus was betrayed, He took bread, and after He had given thanks for it, He broke it, and He offered it to His disciples, and He said, "This is my body that is broken for you. Take and eat, and as you do this, remember me." Likewise, also after supper, He took the cup, and when He had given thanks for it, He blessed it, and He offered it to His disciples, and He said, "This is my blood, the blood of the new covenant, shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Drink from this, all of you. And as often as you do this, remember me." Today we come to connect with God, to submit to God, because we battle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and authorities and rulers in high places. Today, if you're in the midst of a battle, come to the table of God, that you might receive nutrition, that you might receive His Spirit, that you might receive His Word, that you might be submitted to Him so that good stuff can happen, that you can continue to walk in victory. Liz is going to call up the folks that are going to help assist her, and they're going to take communion first, and then afterward they will go into stations and they will invite us to come and to partake of this meal. But would you pray with me as they go through this time? Lord, we thank You for this, Your Word. We thank You for Your victory. We thank You that we get to be called by Your name. And I pray that if there are any here today that do not know You, that have not said yes to You, that this might be their day, the day of their salvation. That by simply giving themselves to You, God, they can start a brand new chapter in their life, free and forgiven, filled with purpose and meaning. Lord, we pray today that You would bless these elements of bread and of cup, that they would be for us Your body and Your blood, so that we might become Your body, redeemed by Your love, and by Your blood, to walk in newness of life, that the world may see who You are in us and may come to want what You have because they see Your life living in us and they see us walking in Your victory over the powers and the principalities and those things in dark places. Today, God, come and meet with us as we come to meet with You. And we pray this today in the strong but gentle name of Jesus. Amen.